I want to, in the short time that I have left, come to you out of the book of Luke. I'm going to break from our series in Colossians, or our expository there, and look at this passage of Scripture, which we've looked at before some time ago. For me, it's been years since I've preached on this, but I love the story about the 10 lepers. And being that this is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, I thought it would be good to look at it again, because God, our Father in heaven, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is one who watches over Thanksgiving. Hello. The Bible says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is good. Amen. And anyone who can say that God is good is a direct recipient of the goodness of God. And therefore, we ought to give him thanks. Amen. And so I want to look at every morning when I wake up, I have the utmost reason to give God thanks and praise, because when I wake up, the Holy Spirit has at the forefront of my mind God and God alone. And that I cannot take credit for. It's the Holy Spirit living within us. Every time a scripture runs across your mind, every time a holy influence is realized in your person, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we need to give God thanks for that. Amen. Because it's him working in us, right? We didn't have any, we had no holy compunction before we came to Christ. Amen. Everything was darkness. Everything. I mean, everything. And so, as it was for us then, in that time in our lives, so it was for these 10 lepers. For you see, leprosy in the scripture is synonymous with what? Or symbolic of sin. That's what leprosy is symbolic of. And when the priests would go to look at someone who had a sore or a leprous sore, the instruction was that if it's deeper than the skin, if it's deeper than the skin, let me tell you what about the sin you and I had. Oh, it was deeper than the skin, all right. Oh, no, it wasn't on the surface. Wasn't nothing about it. Everything was deep within, right? The whole of what we're going through right now in America the exposing of this sexual misconduct from men from the least to the greatest, you know, and all of it has to do with sin, right? And this story then would come to us, as the answer also for the woes of our nation, the woes of any nation. Hello. So let me read Luke chapter 17, verse 11 reads, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, let me say, as you know very well, that everywhere Jesus went, he went on purpose. Hello. Jesus didn't go anywhere that he was not to go to. He didn't go on accident. He just didn't happen to go somewhere. No. Even at one point, while he was sharing the gospel in Galilee and the people wanted him to stay, he says, no, let's go to other cities, because therefore was I sent to preach the gospel to other cities as well. So Jesus went where he went on purpose. And here he was going through the midst of those who were at odds with him ethically, religiously, and a host of other ways. He was going through the midst of Samaria. He was going through, if you will, those people who were politically at odds with him. And the Jesus that did that then also does it now. Except for Jesus is living within us. And we're supposed to go into the midst of those people who aren't necessarily at agreement with us. Now, we don't like that, but Jesus did it. And if we're true to the Jesus that's in us, he'll take us into that place that is at odds with us. But he does it so that he can bring redemption. God help the church. God help us to go to that place. See, because really the church has the answer. The answer is not our great buildings. It's not our great theology. It's not. No, the answer is Jesus in us. The answer is Christ in us. He is the answer. And so as in this day, he went into those places. He went into those places for a specific purpose. And he does the same thing today. And so verse 12 says that then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers. I'm so glad Jesus visited this village. And I'm so glad he visited my village. Amen. Because there was 10 lepers there. But when he came into my village, there was hundreds of thousands of lepers all over the place. Oh, and by the way, every one of us started out in a leper colony. That's where he found us all. See, when he left heaven, he came down to a leper colony. Hello. Every one of us was infected with the disease of leprosy, infected with the disease of sin. Okay? I got news for you. You meet lepers every day. Hello. You go to work, you running up into lepers all the time. We all do. Right? And so here Jesus coming into this village, he meets these 10 lepers. And the scripture says these lepers stood afar off. Now, if that is not a description of me in my sin, if that is not a description of you and I, when Jesus was coming for us, we were standing afar off. Why? Because we were unclean. He's clean and we're unclean. And we were way away from God. We were far away from God. And so the lepers by requirement were to stay away from people. And anytime they came to a group of people, they were to cover their lips and say, unclean, unclean, from a distance to let you know, don't come this way. Can you imagine if people regarding their sin knew how unclean they were? That they would stand up, people would stand up today and go, unclean! No, but that's not how we do ours. See, what we do is when we sin, we don't say unclean. We pull up the rug, get out the broom and sweep it under, and we hide it. We hide it. You heard about Harvey Weinstein, what they said in Hollywood, they said it was an open secret. An open secret. You say, what's an open secret? An open secret is simply that which everybody knows about, but nobody's talking about. That's what an open secret is. His sin was out there for everyone to see, but because no one talked about it, it wasn't acknowledged. I mean, you can't deal with it because no one's talking about it. But then what are we to expect with the 1960s and the sexual revolution? Now, I was born in the 60s. I don't remember. I remember the 70s. Me and Mrs. Jones. I said, what on earth they singing about? This dude talking about him and Mrs. Jones. Who Mrs. Jones? I'm a little boy. I'm 8 years old and the temptation on me and Mrs. Jones. I'm like, who's Mrs. Jones and what he doing? When I got older, I said, oh, I know. But see, what is America? What's happening in America? We just reaping what we sowed. Hello. Back in the 60s when Woodstock and all that stuff's going on, sexual revolution, free love, peace, baby, all this, and they shacking up doing all this stuff. Well, what do you expect the nation? What do you expect people, how do you expect people to live after all of that? Hugh Hefner and all of that foolishness. What do you expect a sinful man to do? I'm not making excuses. I'm just telling you, that's what happens. That's what happens in a leper colony. Hello, everyone's infected. And like I said last week, you know, the issue is not the men. The issue is power. And whoever has power over another, sin is going to use that power sinfully. Because ladies, when you get in charge, guess what's going to happen? The exact same thing going to happen. Matter of fact, it's already happened. It's just that you don't hear about it. But it happens. Why? Because it's not the gender. It's not the gender. It's sin in you taking opportunity using the power that it has, and it just uses it. Hello. Come on. Mothers do it with their children. They kill the children and then turn around and say, something told me to do it. Come on. Are you serious? Hello. Leper colony. And so, just like these lepers who stood afar off, we were standing afar off. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. It's interesting when God told Moses to have the people of God meet him on the mountain. They were to meet him, but the scripture says, now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. It's still afar off. Now scientists would tell you today, oh, those people is just so old time. They didn't know that about thunder. They didn't know what causes lightning. We understand that. We wouldn't be scared today, I guarantee you. Go out to a mountain. Say, God said he gonna meet you out there. And let him thunder. Let him bring some lightning. Let him bring an earthquake all in one place on that mountain. And I guarantee you, your pants will be wet. I guarantee you, you won't be spouting all scientific platitudes then. You'll be running for your life. Oh, no, I'm standing way afar off from this because I'm not too sure about him. That's right. That's right. That's what happened back in this time. And said the people tremble. Exodus 24:1 says, now God said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, and worship from afar. The 70 elders and Nadab, they had to worship from afar. Only one person was allowed to come near. That was Moses. But Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17 says this. And he, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were afar off. He preached what? Peace. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. See, before you justified by faith, you know what you have from God? Wrath. You scared to death. Why? Because you know you're a sinner and you know he gonna get you. That's right. Yes, indeed. The Bible says to him who believes not, the wrath of God abides on him. John chapter 3, verse 36, I believe, the wrath of God abides on him. But when you by faith receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you receive peace from God. Peace. He came and preached peace to you who were afar off, speaking of the Gentiles, and to those who were near, speaking of the Jews. So those who have been afar off so appreciate the nearness of God's presence once their sin has been washed away. That's you and I, beloved. It's you and I. So it goes on, and in verse 13, the scripture says, and they lifted up their voices. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so these lepers, having understood from afar off that Jesus was there, how did they know that? Well, you have to remember, Jesus, when he traveled with a throng of people around him. And when he would enter a city, there would be people who would get to the city before he got to the city. And so this is how these lepers would have known this is Jesus of Nazareth. Remember when blind Bartimaeus, Jesus was walking by and he's like, who is that? He says, Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry, Jesus, have mercy on me. Yeah, he said, shut up. And no, he cried out all the more until he got God's attention, until he got Christ's attention. Well, once they knew it was Jesus, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, have mercy upon us. And so as soon as man understands that God has revealed himself to them, then man's requirement is to call out to God. As soon as they knew it was Jesus, who moved first? God did. Jesus came in and then they called out. God always moves first and then man is to respond. And so these lepers, now knowing that it's Jesus, they cried out to him. Once God reaches out to man, man must then reach out to God. Why? Simple, because man cannot heal himself of his disease. Man cannot heal himself of his disease, which is his sin. Now, here's something interesting about the law of leprosy, or the law of leprosy in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, leprosy was recognized, but there was never any treatment mentioned and never any remedy mentioned. Hello, let me say it again. It was recognized, but there was never any treatment. God said, never, no, this is what you're to do, and this is how you to get healed from it. There was never any of that. Why? The indication being leprosy can only be healed by God. You remember when God sent Moses to Egypt, what he did when he gave him a sign? He said, put your hand in your bosom. When he pulled it out, it was the first mention of leprosy in the Bible. Moses' hand was leprous. He put it back in, and it was healed. Second time was when Aaron and Miriam spake against Moses for marrying an Ethiopian woman, and God rebuked Miriam and Aaron, but he smote her with leprosy, and she had to stay outside the camp for 7 days. And the camp couldn't move because she had to stay outside until she was healed. And then in Leviticus chapter 14, we see the law of leprosy, right? And so there was no way to be healed of leprosy in Israel, other than the fact that God had to heal you. And so in 2 Kings chapter 5, when Naaman, remember the Syrian general who was smitten with leprosy, and a little Israeli servant girl said, oh, if my master were only in Israel, the prophet of Israel would heal him. And Naaman ended up going to Elisha, and Elisha said, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. Well, here, man needs to recognize that there's no way to be healed. He cannot heal, so he needs to cry out to God. I said that about this sexual revolution. What's about the sexual revolution that we experienced in the 60s? Today's sexual misconduct. I believe, part of me believes that it's of God that we're dealing with this, but we need to rely upon God to not only deal with it, but to be healed by it, to be healed of it. Because if we only recognize that people have sinned, that's godly, because God's going to convict you of your sin. But God doesn't only convict you of your sin to leave you there. Listen, God convicts you of your sin so that he might bring you out of your sin and bring healing. And so what needs to happen with what is going on in our nation is, not only are those people who have abused their power, sexual and otherwise, need to be identified, right, and be held accountable, but then what about mercy, and what about forgiveness, and what about putting people right? Hello. Because you have to remember, if anyone was accused of sexual abuse in the Bible, it would have been King David, who took a woman's wife out of her house, brought her to his house, and effectually, now, we children here, no. He sexually abused is what he did. But God forgave him of his sin. I'm not saying we just wipe everybody's sin away and you just keep on rolling, happy, go lucky. No. What I'm saying is that we need God, this nation, we need God to help us through. Because today is their sin, tomorrow it's your sin. Hello. Today is their sin, but tomorrow it's your sin. And the Bible says he will receive mercy who gives mercy. And mercy triumphs against judgment. And so man cannot heal himself. This is why these lepers cried out to Jesus. Why? Because they knew there's no hope for us. There is no treatment. There's no cure. There is no healing. Jesus! Word to God, this nation knew that. Word to God. Listen, our nation doesn't know it, but you know who does know it? Christians do. Christians do. The nation's not going to cry out for itself because it doesn't know. Who should be crying out to Jesus for this nation? Who should be crying out? Sound like they're crying out over there right now. Who should be crying out? The Christians should be crying out. The Christians shouldn't be pointing the fingers and watching the whole thing with Roy Moore down in Alabama. I know it's hard. You get emotions involved in Christians and pastors saying things. I'm looking at them, go, no, don't go there. Don't get mean. Don't get ugly. Man, cry out to God. Jeremiah said, oh, that my eyes were like rivers that I could cry for my nation and cry out to God on their behalf. We need God. And so they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. In verse 14 reads, so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, remember what Elisha said to Naaman. He said, go dip 7 times in the Jordan. Jesus said to these lepers, go show yourselves to the priests. Each one of them gave a commandment. Jesus gave a commandment. Elisha gave a commandment. And that commandment had to be met with faith. Remember, Naaman cast it off at first. He says, who do you think I am? Isn't a river far, far in Syria better than this dirty old river Jordan? And, his subordinate said, master, if he'd have said for you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? How much more so you dip 7 times and be clean? And so he humbled himself and was clean. Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, something a little different in what Elisha said and what Jesus said. In what Elisha said, he was saying for Naaman to do in order to be healed. What Jesus said to those 10 lepers was what you were to do after you were healed. Hello. He said, go show yourself to the priest. You read the Leviticus chapter 14. It says, this is the law of leprosy. This is what the leper is supposed to do on the day of his cleansing. When you felt you were healed of the leprosy, you're supposed to go present yourself to the priest. And I mean, it was a long, drawn out process. I read it this morning. I mean, it's long and drawn out. If you had leprosy, to be cleansed, I'm talking about just cleansing, it was incredible. Not only were there offerings, you had to go see the priest, but you had to, once you went home, you couldn't go in your house. You had to stay outside your house for 7 days. And then after that, you had to go back to the priest and present another offering. And I mean, it was a lot to do with just being cleansed. And so Jesus told these men, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, I've already mentioned how there was no mention of treatment or remedy in the Old Testament. When you went and showed yourselves to the priest had no ability to heal you. The only thing the priest could do was pronounce you clean or unclean. That's all he could do. The priest didn't touch the leper. The priest couldn't touch the leper, lest he became unclean. There's only one priest who could touch a leper. And after he touched the leper, not only was he not unclean, but the leper was clean. And that was the high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. Luke 5 and 13 reads, this leper comes to Jesus and said, Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then Luke 5:13 reads, then he put out his hand and touched him. Jesus did what was contrary to the law. Because Jesus was not bound by the law, because the law was not made, the Sabbath was not made for man, but man for the Sabbath, or man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. And so Jesus superseded the law, right? And he laid hands on this leper, and he touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one. Why did Jesus charge this leper to tell no one? Well, you know why. I just told you. There's no healing for leprosy. There's no remedy. There's no treatment. The only way you could be healed was to be healed by God. Now, Jesus was already proclaiming who he was when he healed the leper. There's only one person who can heal a leper. That's God. But Jesus said they're going to tell anybody because he wanted to be able to enter into the city. If you tell people, I'm not going to be able to go anywhere without throngs of people following me and thronging me and just overwhelming. So he would have to go out to the seaside and he couldn't go into the city because of the large groups of people. But so Jesus healed this man and said, but go show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing. as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. So what that whole process simply did was show the priest that God had cleansed this leper, healed this leper. Obedience to Christ brings the blessing of Christ, is what we see in this passage in verse 14. Because as they went, as these 10 lepers went, they were cleansed. Why? Because they obeyed Christ. And I cannot stress that enough, that in every way you seek to obey Christ, you do it and see if the blessings of God will not rest upon you highly. And you just walk in the blessings of the obedience of Christ. Verse 15 says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. 10 were healed, one turned. One turned around. Let me say that a person can see and receive the blessing and benefit of God and not appreciate it, or not show appreciation for it. We know this is true not only with God, but even with man. You can receive something, a benefit from man, and not even give thanks. Hello. We've all been on the receiving end of it. Well, some of us probably been on the giving end of it. We got something and didn't say anything. God help us. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and said with a loud voice, glorified God. So what we see in verse 15 is these 10 lepers, they're walking to go see the priest. And all of a sudden, this scripture says this one, when he saw that his flesh was healed, I'm sure the others saw it too, he took into account of what was done in his body. He took into account what was done into his body. In order to be thankful, you have to acknowledge how bad you had it before the good came to you. In order to be thankful, you have to acknowledge how bad you had it. Hello. That's what the Psalms is all about. That's what David is preaching about. All I was brought low. He said, my enemies were after me. Then I cried out to God, and God sent his, he thundered and he roared upon my enemies, and he delivered me out of all my sin and transgression. David was constantly acknowledging why. And that's why we get all these songs out of the book of Psalms. That's why all of this was written. And this leper, the scripture says, when he saw that he was healed, returned. He returned. Now, Jesus told him to go to the priest. So imagine, here go 10 guys, they're going to the priest. Jesus over here. They're walking to the priest. When one saw that he was healed, he, remember when I said Jesus did what the law said not to do when he touched the leper? Well, this leper did what Jesus didn't tell him to do. He stopped going to the priest and he turned around and he started walking back to Jesus. Hello. There's certain things you can do when it's done from a heart of gratitude. There are things that God would say, it's okay, because you, it's okay to stop forward progress in order to show appreciation or to say thank you. And that is what was going on with this leper. And I find in my life, if there's anything that God is cultivating, if there's anything that God is cultivating in my life, holiness, yes. All these other things, yes. But thanksgiving. Woo, man. Thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. And I mean, nothing is too small. Let me say, nothing is too small. Let me deal with the flip side of that. If thanksgiving is important to God, let me tell you what he hears. The little grumblings of the heart. The little grumblings. And so when my heart, when I'm cleaning carpet like I was cleaning on Friday, and there's this lady in, there's a what we call a third floor walk up. Now I'm 53. And when I have to take my equipment up 3 flights of stairs to get to your front door, I ain't even started work yet. But I gotta take my equipment up 3 flights of stairs, and my heart started going, and the Holy Spirit said, huh? What? What? What'd you say, son? In everything, give thanks. Come on. Cause he's teaching me. I'm still learning. I'm a child like you are, right? And I'm learning and I'm being taught, to be thankful in everything. And so This one leper returned. Maybe the other nine thought if they would return, their leprosy would return. I don't know what they're thinking. But gratitude will cause a person to reciprocate. Gratitude will cause a person to go back or to respond to the one that did him good. And even though Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest, and they were healed, this one leper turned around and says, I can't keep going. I have to go back. I have to go back and say thank you. So he shouted praises to God. A truly thankful person doesn't care what others think of them when they're giving thanks to the one who did so much for them. Hello? Let me say that again. This leper shouted, the scripture says, and with a loud voice glorified God. You remember when blind Bartimaeus was yelling out to Jesus, he said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. They said, shut up, why are you bothering the master? When they told him to shut up, he cried out all the more, Jesus! Guess what? He got healed. Hello. Brother, if you standing between me and my healing and all I got to do is shout, brother, I'm going to shout. I'm going to shout you down. But I'm going to get healed, man. If Jesus is standing there and he got healing for me and you standing in my way, I'm going to shout. I'm going to shout you down because I need that healing. I need that touch from God, right? And so this man crying out, turned around with a loud voice and giving glory to God. Verse 16 says that he fell down on his face. He humbled himself. He fell down on his face at Jesus' feet. The highest part of his body, his head, his face, he put at the lowest part of Jesus' body, his feet. He humbled himself totally, and he simply gave thanks. And thanks is enough. Thank you is enough. It says, I appreciate you. I appreciate what you have done for me. So he fell down giving thanks, and then we have this distinction, and he was a Samaritan. Again, we started off with Samaria and Jesus going through Samaria. And we have the Luke made sure that he pointed out that this man was a Samaritan. Why? Because Jesus was not only a Jew. Jesus was a Jewish rabbi. He was a Jewish teacher. Samaritans had no dealings with the Jews, much less Jewish rabbis. But yet this leper has been taken notice of by this Jewish rabbi and healed by this Jewish rabbi. And he turns around and throws himself at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. God help us. Now, verse 17, we read, so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Can I tell you something? God knows, he sees the ones who give thanks. At least he did here. He said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? So Jesus pointing out that this foreigner returned, which points to the fact that there were perhaps Jews among those lepers. He said, this foreigner returned. Where are the others? There were some Jewish people that should have come back and said, thank you, but no one returned. I've said already that the giving thanks temporarily relieved the leper from going to the priest. And we see that God questions our ungratefulness. He said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Notice how rich God is in healing all 10, but how poor they were in giving thanks. God was rich toward them in healing all 10 of them, but they were poor toward God in just giving thanks. God did way more for them than what he was asking from them. Hear me. God did way more for them than what he was asking from them. A simple thanks is all Christ pointed to, given what this Samaritan had done. He knows how many there are who don't offer thanks. So sometimes we can be quick to pray, but slow to give thanks and praise. God help us. So in verse 18, as we look at that, supposedly some of the lepers were Jewish. Oh, I went ahead myself, got there. Man should offer glory to God when blessed with divine providence. That would be every day that we're to give glory to God. Verse 19 reads, and Jesus said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. God is looking for those who give thanks. Let me make just a few observations as I close. Thanksgiving builds relationships. Thanksgiving builds relationships. You have to contact a person in order to say thank you. Is that right? The nine lepers were on their way to see the earthly priest. This one leper is standing at the feet of the eternal priest of God. Okay? The other nine lepers missed out on an opportunity to meet Jesus because of their ungratefulness. They missed out on an opportunity to meet Jesus because of ungratefulness. They were healed, yes, but their ingratitude kept them from a place close to Jesus. Hello. That's why we seek his face and not his hand. Hello. We don't only seek what God can do, but we seek who he is. If you have who he is, you get all that he can do. And so his face takes priority over his hand. The 10 lepers got what they wanted. They got what they asked for. Lord, that you would cleanse us. But there was more. There was more. And the one leper experienced the more. What was it? He was there at the place. Remember when Jesus said, Martha said to Mary, Lord, get her to help me. And the scripture says that Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, listen to everything he said. And Jesus said, I'm not bothering Mary. She's chosen the better part, Martha. I'm going to leave her right where she is. Personal relationship. She was sitting right at the feet of Jesus. This leper was at the feet of Jesus. Although the nine had received much, they didn't give anything in return. The Samaritan heard the words of Jesus up close. The nine lepers heard Jesus from afar. How do you want to hear? How do you want to hear? The ten lepers heard, go show yourselves to the priests from afar. But the one Samaritan leper heard, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Gratitude, simply put, brings you close to Jesus. Gratitude brings you close to Jesus. As did the gratitude shown in the heart of this leper right here. Jesus told the 10 lepers to go to the priest, but to the one he said, go your way. Why did Jesus do this? The Samaritan had just seen God's high priest. The nine lepers were running to the priest who would perform a whole bunch of sacrifices and meal offerings and drink offerings and all of this that pointed to the one priest that this leper was over here standing at the feet of right here. He's standing at his feet. He's standing at the fulfillment of all that this priest over here was going to do. And so, in effect, the Samaritan leper, this one leper, he did end up at the priest. He did go see the priest. It just wasn't the earthly priest. If the other nine had come to give thanks, they too would have been told to go their own way. Jesus said, verse 19, arise. He didn't tell them to go to the priest. He said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Ephesians 5:20. Says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Read that again. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, if you're here today, you say, I don't know why I'm living. Why am I here on this earth? Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Here, take this scripture right here. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 2, we give thanks to God always for you all. Thanks is that which we are to give to God always. David said in Psalm 34 and 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. You say, what's the will of God for my life? In everything give thanks. In everything. Lord, and so we pray, Father, help us to, in everything, see an opportunity to give you thanks. It's there. It's there, but I need to see it. Father, open up our eyes and help us to see in everything, in every opportunity, in every situation, even as Paul and Silas were in the stocks and had been beaten in Acts 16, they sat down at midnight. They were giving thanks and singing praises to God and praying when the earthquake shook the prison. But they were giving thanks. Father, open up our eyes and help us to understand and see that we're to give thanks at all times. Jesus' name. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, O God, for your goodness, Lord, that surrounds us. Lord, that your mercy that compasses us about like a shield. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your angels, Lord, as the mountains around about Jerusalem, so your angels encompass those that fear the Lord, your word declares. Father, we thank you for all of your goodness toward us, that you woke us up this morning in our right mind, gave us strength to rise up out of the bed. Lord, you've kept us all this day, all this past week, this past month, this past year. It's been your faithfulness that has been great, oh God. It's been your faithfulness, Lord, that has never changed. And Lord, although we go up and down and all around, though we're good one day, Lord, though we're excited one day and depressed the next, Lord, your faithfulness never fails. You never change. You are always the same, and thus we are still in our right mind. We are still cared for and loved of God, and Father, for that we give you thanks. Lord, and in every way, Lord, we pray that your word would be brought to pass in our person, that we would be those, Lord, who are being taught and learned and brought to the place where in everything we learn to give you thanks, O God, because your goodness never fails, your goodness never changes. Lord, let this be our experience, we pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and in Jesus Christ's name we ask it. And all God's people said with me, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you real good.